Welcome to the Black Sheep Believers podcast. Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Alicia.
Have you ever felt like you didn't belong?
A misfit, outcast?
Too loud, or even like a black sheep? Us too.
Yep. Black Sheep Believers is a podcast of honest conversations for those seeking, questioning, and deepening their relationship with Jesus.
So let's have the hard but real conversations around feeling misunderstood and misplaced, but feeling fully accepted by the God that created us. Welcome home, Black Sheep. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Black Sheep Believers podcast. I'm your co-host, Jess.
Hi, guys. I'm Alicia.
And we're so glad that you're joining us again. If you listened to last week's episode, it was little old me, just me. And I was struggling so hard to not have a pal who was like nodding with me or like laughing at what I said. I just want you to know that like it is so much easier to just sit and hang with my friend who also has a microphone than it is to do those individual ones. Today, however, we are going to talk about Alicia's experience with vanity. As you know, that's the title. And she's got a really cool backstory. So if you have not heard episode two. If you've not heard episode two, there might be some details that will sound really strange. And I highly recommend that you pause. Like I highly so much that I added another syllable to the word highly.
Highly.
Highly recommend that you pause what you're doing right now and go to episode two and listen to that first. Because it's the one, one of my friends asked me what the link to the podcast was. Like, hey, send me the podcast. And I just sent her to episode two.
You go, I was like, you go weird witch lady on Jesus Street every time.
Every time. Weird witch lady on Jesus Street. And so, yeah, so shout out to my friend who knows who she is. Because I literally just did that. Anyway, so today, yeah, we're going to be talking to Alicia. And we're just going to dive real deep into a very crazy experience that she had. And before we do, we want to give grace to everyone, don't we, Alicia? There's a lot of people. You're looking at me like, who are we talking about?
No, I'm following along. Okay, I'm on a ride right now. Okay, I'm like, let's go. Let's go.
At some point, I'm going to shut up. Okay, so there are going to be people. There are going to be people that are listening today, and this is going to make you uncomfortable because you have had the same experience in that you had a breast augmentation. Mm-hmm. However, you did not have the same experience that she had. You might have a complicated relationship with beauty, the beauty industry, how involved you are, how much of a routine, how much you budget for every month. I mean, everyone is on the spectrum of how they look in the mirror and determine themselves. We are only sharing our perspective from our mirror.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And hopefully for some of you, hearing this story will be radically encouraging and validating because there are more women out there who have walked through what Alicia has walked through, but have felt like they're crazy and doctors have told them that there's nothing wrong with them. And there is. So we really want to just give a big hug to our friends who are walking through what Alicia walked through. And then there are some of you that are contemplating what you're going to do in the future. And it might look very similar to what Alicia chose to do, but is no longer doing. And so we just want just everybody relax. There's a place for you.
For sure.
Wherever you are on the spectrum of how you define beauty for yourself, this is our story. Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to give that caveat first before you get into it. And then you could just like share exactly what's on your heart.
Great intro, friend.
Thank you.
Also, kudos. Last week's episode was amazing. And she also carried the team. So as I always say on this podcast, get you a Jess. Oh, get you a Jess. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Thanks for that intro. Cause that is important. I think for me, the choices that I have had to make in regards to beauty enhancements or what I choose to do for myself physically in regards to my appearance, they're the best choice for my health. And so they're the best choice for me. And whenever I share this story, I try to share this story and this information from a place of advocacy more than anything, because if other women hadn't have shared their stories, I don't know if I would have ever found the thing that really helped me get my health back. And, you know, kind of coming into today, I was praying about it, because anytime you speak out about vanity, it makes people a little uncomfortable, and it shouldn't, because it's the one thing that I think we all kind of share, especially as women.
Girl, ain't that the truth?
We don't like to talk about it, but we all share in it, and why not? Like, we have such a societal expectation of beauty and of how we should look and how you go about obtaining how you're looking. So yeah, I'm glad you said that, because the truth is, and what I kept having on my heart when I was praying for this, is God just kept being like, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth.
That's it.
And truthfully, we all struggle with vanity.
100%.
I know I have always struggled with vanity and still continue to do. And, you know, one thing, what I wanted to do before I share my story, so I'm definitely going to share my story, and I'm also going to really tie into how Jesus has specifically helped me heal from a lot of aspects and a lot of damage that has been done from vanity.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also wanted to kind of break down how the Bible speaks to vanity.
So good.
Because it is a little different than our kind of just earthly thoughts about it. So, while we're on the subject of telling the truth, here's the thing. If you look in the Bible and you're trying to find the Hebrew translation for vanity, it's havel. Am I saying that right? Do you know?
Sure.
Hebrew translation for vanity is meaningless or transient nature of earthly things and lack of meaning of life.
Wow.
If we really cut back and look at what vanity is,
right,
that's pretty solid. That makes a lot of sense. And then if we go and look even further to that, and it says, how does the Bible specifically kind of break down vanity? It's excessive pride or self-importance.
Yeah.
It's the futility of worldly pursuits.
Wow.
It's the pursuit of things that ultimately do not satisfy. Excessive focus on appearance or self accomplishment.
Wow.
So if you didn't think that maybe you struggled with vanity, when you break it down like that,
that's right.
Wow. Right?
Because it covers so many areas of our life, not just our physical appearance.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And the truth is, like it or not, vanity is it's a sin. It's a sin. And we talk about this all the time on the podcast. We love to break down words. Yeah. And, you know, me specifically being a new believer, the word sin used to always be very emotionally charged to me because I didn't really understand. I understood how the world told me about sin. I did not understand how Jesus told me about sin.
Wow.
And when you break down the Hebrew translation of sin, which is chata, I don't know. Hebrew scholars, forgive me. I'm trying my best here, but it literally means to miss the mark or to fail. So when Jesus talks to you about sin, he's not trying to shame you. He's not trying to make you feel unworthy. He's not trying to say, like, you cannot be forgiven, you cannot be redeemed. He's literally just saying, I don't want you to sin because I don't want you to miss the mark.
Right.
I don't want you to miss what I have for you.
Right.
So if sin is one of those words that kind of just gets you a little like this, just for the next 30 to 45 minutes, think of it this way. Mm-hmm. It's just Jesus not wanting me to miss what he has for me.
That's it.
Okay. So moving forward, sorry, I wanted to break that down because you know, we're talking about a lot of uncomfortable things today and a lot of like things that make you quick to be defensive, right? So I just wanted to have that little moment so we could break it down. Vanity, and particularly how it almost ruined my life. What do you think in areas maybe that you've struggled with vanity, where do you think it comes from? What do you think the root cause of it is?
I think, I was born female. I was a woman. Fair. I was born a woman. I think the physical vanity, because when you describe vanity, vanity can be like literally everybody's to blame for mm-hmm. it. Like everybody is dealing with vanity in some way or another. But I would say the expectation on physical appearance to be a source of success is embedded in every single culture throughout all of history for women. And it sucks really bad. This is a pet peeve of mine. When I look at dudes' outfits and I think, you just have on a pair of raggedy crap shorts and a t-shirt, and it is totally acceptable for you to wear that to your son's sporting event. And look at all of these moms and how hard they're working to just keep up with the appearance of being a good mom. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I look at young women who are just like, their skin is like dewy soft, like a porcelain dang doll. And they don't need to put a lick of makeup on to look like a snatched cookie. But it's caked all over their face.
Yeah.
And it's because society has said, you got to get the next thing. You've got to keep this. These lines mean that it's bad. That basically, like, I think the big thing, I'm about to have a 4 in the front of my age. And so many of my friends are like trying to talk about not being turning 40. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, why is it bad to get old as women? And you look at the silver foxes in the world, and I really think that sometimes dudes get, like, more handsome as they get older. Some dudes, it's maddening.
My husband got bald, and I was like, when did you get this attractive?
Exactly right. When I see gray in my husband's hair, I'm seriously like, oh, it's about to happen. I am so excited about him aging. And I don't know why, for women, as you get older, because you no longer carry a sexual attractiveness to you, that you're less valuable. I don't understand, but that's how it feels, that like some women don't want to get older because they want for people to still find them attractive. And apparently aging is unattractive, and because aging is unattractive, they need to maintain an attractiveness to still be valuable in society. And I talk to women who are older and they feel invisible.
Mm.
They feel like people look through them as they age. The older that they've gotten, the less people even notice them. So this is a systematic flaw. There is a flaw in the matrix that tell women since birth that there is a window of time where you are valuable.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. And in fact, I think that looking at my own story, I kind of almost have to take a little responsibility too, because I learned at a very young age that so much of your worth is built and received, more than anything, on what you're producing.
Right.
How you look.
Right.
And ultimately, what persona you're creating that people think of.
Yes.
And I mean, honestly, I really wasn't raised to think any differently. So how could I? But I do have to take some sort of responsibility with that, that I stepped into that.
Right.
I never once stopped to think, hey, wait a minute. Like, is this anything that I want? No, I was literally such a slave to validation from the exterior world. I was never looking internally to seek that validation. It took a really, really long time for me to even think about that. And I think that that's something that inherently comes with age, right? Mm-hmm. But also I can see the tides changing when I hang out. I have a lot of friends that are younger than me that are, you know, technically the younger generation. And I see that changing.
I see that too.
And I see it. And I think every generation of women, I think two things are happening. I think one, there's more inward kind of, how would I want to put it? Nope, I'm not going to put it that way. I think more women are starting to find value outside of the way that they look. But I also think there's never been more pressure on the way that you look because of social media.
100%.
And what you're comparing yourself to is not real. And so we're having the expectation has always been very high for women in terms of how we're supposed to look and how our bodies are supposed to look.
Yeah.
But now it's even maximized.
That's right.
Because we're comparing ourselves to things that are not real. And we're also seeing that image over and over and over and over again. You know, you talked about like skin. I don't know how many women my age, you know, they're like, oh, my skin. And I'm like, when's the last time you saw real skin though?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? We're forgetting what real beauty looks like.
Right.
It's being filtered out.
Right.
So I think the next couple generations will be kind of interesting to see what happens.
And I hope Jesus becomes more of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I just hope that more and more, and I mean, there's going to be a new creation that, you know, allows, that can experience true wholeness. But I would like to think that the younger generation, especially with this new Jesus movement happening with young people right now that are just so open-minded and so willing to like have a North Star to point to and are recognizing that it's Jesus and they're like falling so faithfully towards him. Hopefully there's some undoing of what social media did by the influence that Jesus offers. And mm-hmm. I think the hardest part is that I'm a female who's loved Jesus for like a lot of years. And I am no different than the non-Jesusers, you know, like the,
what do you mean by that?
I'm no different in how much responsibility I put on myself to look good.
Mm. I think we're all raising our hand.
Right.
I think we're all.
But I wish I believed what Jesus said about me more than I expected myself to serve some sort of socially acceptable purpose physically.
Can I throw this out there?
Sure.
So I think one of the reasons that vanity is such a sticky issue, especially in regards to just seeing vanity as a sin, is I think within religious community, there's certain sins that are really hyper fixated on.
Yeah.
And then there's certain sins that, yeah, they're sins, but we don't talk about them as much, even though they're even more common among people.
That's it.
As a non-believer, I knew Christians viewed abortion as a sin. I knew they viewed homosexuality as a sin. I knew they viewed, you know, all like the, if you
big
go down
stuff.
The list. Yeah.
Big stuff.
And then it was crazy when I opened my Bible.
Before marriage.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I opened my Bible, yes, that's obviously in there, but so was pride. So was greed.
Girl.
So, I mean, it just went, I heard it over and over and over again. And I was like, whoa, I was like, you don't really hear this talked about as much. So it's not to like point fingers by any means, but, and I think this is like when I tell my story to some people, anytime you speak out about beloved beauty procedures,
yes,
like I get it, you know, they're beloved for a reason, but also don't discount.
Right.
Maybe if you are taking offense or if it does rub you the wrong way, it also might be conviction.
Yes.
And you might be getting conviction for something that doesn't get spoken about a lot.
That's right.
Not saying, you know, what I'm saying is you should just take every word and, you know, believe everything. But do, like, take what I say. And if it moves something in you today, take that to Jesus and see what he wants to reveal to you. Because within my story, I didn't really get the opportunity for Jesus to quietly speak to me about it. It was literally being screamed at me because vanity had taken me to a place that not only had it just broken down the health of my soul, it was breaking down my health at an exponential rate too.
Yeah, physically. Okay, so break it down. I want to start with like right after one of those bodybuilding competitions.
Okay.
Start there.
Okay. So I had been in the fitness industry for a while. I was doing modeling and I started bodybuilding and I really wanted to be competitive. And so I didn't place particularly well at a class, which mind you, if you've never been to a bodybuilding show, it is women lined up in bikinis getting judged amongst each other as a sport. just even like saying it that way, you're like, wow, okay, that might create some stuff.
right.
Anyways, I went to the judge and I was like, hey, you know, why did I get placed like this? And he's like, he was pretty straight up about it. He said, well, you don't have boobs. Go get those and we'll place you. I booked my surgery the next day, and without even really thinking or researching, and at that point in time too, no one was saying anything about breast implant illness.
Right.
I was like, yeah, of course. And I remember when I first got my breast implants, they did make me feel really confident, but in a weird way, they made me feel very like exposed. Like I felt like anything I wore, yeah, even if it wasn't trying to be like sexy, it was now sexy. And I remember feeling like this. I'm like, well, I've got this kind of curvy, I've got curves now. I've got this very womanly body, because that's what we think of, right? Yeah. I know growing up being flat chested, I was like, oh, I just don't feel like I look very womanly. Now looking back, I'm like, what even is that?
But right.
I've heard so many women tell the same thing. I kind of had to commit to that role, because now
you can't take them off.
Well, you can, and they're sitting in a bag on my desk.
Okay, well, but I mean, like, it's not like at the end of the day you're about to get in the shower. Yeah. You're going to unstrap them in the back is what I mean.
And it also, I remember, this is no knock to men. They're just simple creatures, but I remember...
They're
just simple creatures. Bless their hearts.
Right.
I remember feeling like I could notice the extra attention that I got from men. Right. And I didn't always know what to do with that. And I think that what happened next was I kind of fully committed to this idea that having the perfect body, being in the fitness industry, your body's literally like your business card. And I really kind of committed to, all right, like if you have the perfect body, you're going to have a thriving business.
Right.
You're going to be super successful.
Right.
All that validation that you're seeking. When I really think about it, I didn't want validation for like my body or anything. I just wanted validation.
Period.
Because growing up as a young girl, I didn't get a lot of love for who I was, but I did get a lot of attention for how I made other people feel and how other people viewed me.
Girl.
So all I was doing was kind of seeking what I never really got. And
yeah, I get that.
And it was the perfect mix of disaster.
It was a bad cocktail.
It's a bad cocktail.
Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, kind of continuing my bodybuilding career and my modeling career. And yes, it did place me higher in shows. I was booking more modeling jobs, and it was seemingly doing all the things that I thought it was going to do. When I really sat down and I was just with myself and I was quiet, I was still just as unhappy and as unfulfilled. And so then what started happening is, okay, get more. Like, you got this one thing and that fixed it for a second. You felt good for a second.
Right.
Keep getting more. And so I started, getting work done on my face in regards to Botox and filler and hair extensions. And I do still love me a hair extension and a wig. There's too much Dolly in me to die. Okay.
Okay.
But, and so it was kind of like more is more.
Right.
And at some point in time, you get to the top of the threshold of more.
Right.
And then you're like, wait, this is still empty. Now what do I do? And right about that time, my health had also started to decline. And it first started with, I got diagnosed hypothyroid. I had never had any past history with hypothyroid. I started gaining weight like rapidly. Manipulating weight and food, that's literally all bodybuilding is. And so I started gaining weight, and my coaches dropped me, and they didn't just drop me. I remember one was like, you're so fat, like I can't even have my name associated with you. And you know, the fitness industry is a very cutthroat industry, and it just kind of all was spiraling. And so I ended up actually getting pregnant with my first child. And that was a really healing experience because it was the first thing in my life that made me look outward for a second.
Wow.
And this will kind of be the theme of when I talk about my healing. That outward focus is so important when it comes to healing things about how you view your body, how you view how you look, and also how you view exterior validation from the world.
Wow.
But we'll keep going. And I'm trying to take a really long story and compress it in. So excuse me if I'm...
No. This is great. Keep going.
So at this point, I'd had my first child. I went back to bodybuilding. I kind of had somewhat gotten neutral with my health. And then out of nowhere, it just went downhill. I was experiencing around 30 symptoms that couldn't really be explained by doctors. I wasn't getting diagnoses. My main symptoms were extreme fatigue to the level of like, I would get up and play with my kids for 20 minutes and I'd be done for the day. I was having really weird skin issues. I was breaking out in places, having rashes that would come and go. My skin was always dry. My eyes were always dry. My hair was falling out in clumps. And this was just kind of more of like the cosmetic things that I was noticing. Internally, I started having really intense heart palpitations, dizziness, pain in my chest. And if you go to my Instagram, I have this broken down in every single detail and kind of walk you through my entire explant healing process. But I do always get asked all the time, like, what were your symptoms? And, they were constant and they just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I was going to doctors and I was going to specialists. I had spent about $8,000 out of pocket at this point. And all I was getting back was, well, you know, you're a mom. Or, you know what, it's probably just anxiety. It's probably just anxiety. No one could tell me what it was. And so I stumbled across this Facebook page, and it was hundreds of thousands of women who were talking about they were experiencing the exact same symptoms that I had. And crazy. They were allocating all of this to breast implant illness. And when I first stumbled on that, I immediately got off that page and I was like, nope, that's not it. Even though it was like the evidence, and even though it was anecdotal, was like right in front of me. But internally, I was so attached to my image and right. I was so attached to how these things made me feel that I was like, no, I can't even consider it. I can't even consider it. And right. so I went on about a year. And then at that point, I was getting so sick to the point that I honestly just felt like I was dying.
Yeah.
And what's really crazy, like chronic illness is, you know, when you tell someone, oh, I have cancer, they're right. like, oh, yeah, and they get it.
Right.
But when you tell someone, I feel sick every single day.
Yes.
And they'll say, oh, what's wrong with you? And you say, doctors don't know. And they're like, oh, it's probably in your head. It's such an invalidating experience. Mm-hmm. But now when I look back, oh my gosh, that was Jesus's hand on everything, because he's like, here you are in this situation. That's yeah. you're choosing, by the way, friend.
Right. This is a consequence.
That you did for the validation of the world. And then here you are reaching out to the world, mm-hmm. validate me, and they're giving you nothing.
Right. Whoa.
So that is, and at the time I was not a believer, and I was very much into new age spiritual practices. And I was very much into like a self assertive religion. And so I was like, okay, I can get myself out of this. I couldn't. And I just kept getting sicker and sicker. And so I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to book this explant, which an explant is, it's a specific surgery where they don't just remove the breast implant, they remove the scar tissue that's around it. And in order for you to actually stop having symptoms yeah. from breast implants, you cannot just remove the implants. You have to remove the scar tissue. It forms a capsule around the implant. You have to remove that as well, because what happens is, whether you have a textured implant, a silicone implant, a saline implant, They are all made with the same ingredients in the shell. There's over 37 different neurotoxins in that shell. So what happens over time is your body, because it's built to attack anything that's foreign, and you just put two huge
foreign objects.
Doesn't have to be huge, but mine were huge.
they can be tasteful.
Yes. Yes. I was not. You not only put them in your body, you put them over your most important internal organs. And so the body goes into overtime, and your immune system is so suppressed because it's constantly fighting this foreign object, okay? Then let's start breaking down those neurotoxins, mercury, copper, I mean, you name it, it is in those shells. Because the body's breaking it down, it's also going everywhere in your body. It's going in your bloodstream. And what was really interesting, and the thing that kind of like made me wake up, is when I had breast implants, I would never really sweat, ever. I'd never sweat. And when I was in that, that Facebook page, that was one of the main symptoms that everybody had. And it's because those neurotoxins, the body is trying to take them out through your lymphatic drainage pathways, and it starts blocking the lymphatic drainage pathways. So you have these poisons in your body that you cannot excrete, because the body excretes through sweat as its number one, and obviously go in the bathroom. So you're creating this cocktail inside your body while your immune system is fighting these implants. And it's just not all the time, but in a lot of women's cases, they just keep getting sick and they can't figure out why. So I booked my surgery. I canceled my surgery twice because getting closer to that surgery was like having a million ego deaths every single day.
Right.
And I actually, during this time, one thing that I did that I was really, really happy is I did go to therapy with an amazing therapist who specifically worked with women who were explanting, because the physical aspect of surgery is a lot, but the mental aspect of removing breast implants, and I had a whole closet full of skeletons when it came to eating disorders and body dysmorphia, but this, I had never been challenged like this before. And I finally had gotten to the point, it was about 3 weeks before my surgery. I had just laid, at this point, I'd already had my second son, and I laid him down for a nap, and it was just him and I at the house. And I started having a really intense heart, like fluttering and palpitation. I started getting dizzy. And at this point, I mean, I'd had them like every day, so it was really adjusted. But this one was so intense that I was like, oh no, like I'm going to black out. I think I'm going to black out. And I started to panic because I didn't want to leave my baby home alone. So I actually tried to make it to our neighbor's house to let them know. Right. And before I could even get out of my driveway, I fell over and collapsed and blacked out. And that was the biggest wake-up call. Because I was like, and here's the thing too. At that time, there really wasn't a lot of women explaining. And right. So I didn't know if this would be the thing that healed me. I had this like gut feeling like this is it. But it wasn't until that moment, literally 3 weeks before my surgery, that I was so desperate to get healthy that I was like, I don't care. Get these things out of me. So I ended up
collapsed in your driveway.
Collapsed in my driveway.
A neighbor came by and picked you up, took you to the hospital.
Yep, went to the hospital once again. It's just anxiety. it's just anxiety. You had a panic attack. And I was like, it was a very nice doctor at the ER. But at this point in time, it had been close to 5 years of people telling me that. And I was just like, can I go home now? Because I was just done. I flew to Florida. I explanted with a wonderful surgeon called Dr. Rankin. His staff was absolutely amazing. The actual surgery itself was honestly, it wasn't like an easy surgery, but it was definitely not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And like I said, you can go to my Instagram and I document all of that, even the lovely drains that you have during surgery that everybody talks about. And then I came home. And what was crazy is, the second I woke up from surgery, I took what felt like the first real breath I had taken in like 7 years.
Wow.
I had not realized that having those implants on my chest, I wasn't like breathing. And I knew in that moment that I had made the right decision.
Right.
24 hours after surgery, I had had close to 12 symptoms disappear. Each day, symptoms were completely disappearing or they were drastically improving. And by 1 year, I was in complete remission from every single symptom I was experiencing. And I am careful when I say this because I don't want to lead people into this, you know, if you just explant, all your health issues will be magically.
Absolutely, yeah.
But what I will tell you is that it woke me up to a lot of lifestyle changes. I was already a very healthy person. Obviously, I was a personal trainer and I worked out and I ate healthy. But one thing I didn't do is I didn't manage stress very well. I didn't rest. I didn't take care of myself. I was always pushing, right? Because I was always trying to do more because I was always seeking the validation. And then it really encouraged me to lead as much of a toxin-free lifestyle as I could. And, you know, now I think it was just 3 years since I've explanted and I have my health back. I feel like when I got my explant, like, yes, my breast implants got removed, but this ego got removed with it. And I think, you know, I think vanity really comes from insecurity. And I think the only real remedy for insecurity is gratitude. And having my health back and having my life back made me so grateful that, I mean, I'm sure I'm a woman. There's some days where I'm like, I wish that was hanging up there and not down there anymore. Right, I wish this was like this. But it really has like completely changed me to the aspect that I am so grateful to be healthy and have the ability to play with my children and do the things I want to do in life that, it rocked me. It absolutely rocked me. And why wouldn't it? Because I dove in like anything I do. I dove in so deep when it came to that. So,
it's powerful, Alicia. How has so the explant happened about a year later, you met Jesus. And so now there's like a whole new set of just like internal your internal dialogue is radically different. So what does it look like now? How much have you invited God into the process of reconciling with vanity or your appearance, your body? Like, how do you integrate your spiritual life into your physical and cosmetic life?
Yeah. Well, here's the first thing is we all think of vanity as a physical thing.
Right.
And it is, but that's just the surface level.
Mm-hmm.
What drives vanity, I mean, I've already mentioned insecurity, but it's a lot of pride. Mm-hmm. And when I came to Jesus, my pride, that was and will probably always be the one thing that he is so intimately working with me on, because pride was a core value.
Right. It wasn't even like thought of as a bad thing.
Yes.
Right.
And humility was, I didn't understand humility.
Right.
And so I never really allowed humility to combat my pride because I never really understood it. And, you know, when I came to Jesus, and this is, I think everybody kind of experiences this, but it was and still is such a process of dying to myself and to the idea that I can, one, take care of myself, that I am capable of being my own God. I'm capable of making my own decisions. I'm capable of not needing anything from anyone else. But not only that, when I met Jesus, I realized that vanity held no candle in my life anymore because he was revealing his true identity. And then I was allowing myself to fully understand like who I am and my identity in Christ.
Wow.
And it is nothing, nothing that the world could ever offer me.
Whoa.
And so you know, that is, I think if you're, no matter what level of vanity you're struggling, and we've broken down all the different ways we can be vain. If you think you're struggling with a physical part, first off, I'm sorry. And, I know it's a certain kind of mental torture. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's also, I can't encourage you enough. It is just the surface level.
That's right.
And the more you dive deeper with Christ, the more he will reveal truth about yourself that you can believe. Because you can look around at the world, tell me this so I can believe, or let me do this so I can believe, and you fall short. It never sustains you. It never fulfills you. But when you go to him and you're like, okay, tell me the truth, that's what sustains you.
Wow.
And so for me, there isn't even one specific thing that happened. It was just over time.
Mm-hmm.
And now being 2 years in, the more I grow in my identity in Christ, the more I once long for the identity I had outside of him.
Wow. That's so good. That's so powerful. I would say one of the things that I have talked to God more about more often recently specifically is, all right, Lord, I'm about to buy the sixth freaking cream for my dang face. What's motivating me? Like, let's just pause. What is motivating me right now to do this thing or to wear this thing or to care about this thing? What is my inner motivation? Because that's really such a huge part of what God wants for us to be in check with. It's not the external in any way. It's really like our inner life is what he's monitoring and is wanting for us to be in alignment with him. And so I have at times like purchased something and been like, Lord, there's no good reason why I've chosen to spend this dollar for this purpose. Mm-hmm. And there's also been things that I've purchased that have been really healing to my body. And I've thanked the Lord for helping me find that resource.
Yeah.
And there's like this balance of us recognizing that for each of us, we just need to go to the Lord.
Yeah.
And discern what he's asking of us. I would say there is something I felt very powerful. I have a friend who's completely walked away from the Lord. She's been traumatically, emotionally, physically, sexually and mentally abused by a number of people within a church. Very painful experience for her. And recently she ran into a friend from her ex, her former church life. This friend of mine is not married and raising children as a single mom. And she was, when everybody would leave her office, she was helping one of the female custodians in her office make sure that she got some of the resources that she needed. This woman was struggling speaking English. And so she made phone calls for this woman, and she was serving this woman. And not to tell me that, but she was just sharing, like, I feel like I was doing what Jesus was doing. Then she ran into a friend from her former church life who only wanted to talk about how she recently started to get Botox. Mm-hmm. And she was like, how is she more morally superior to me? How is she the one that is looking at her life and saying, God's got me. I am doing the Lord's work. Right? And like she just had a moment where she recognized for herself, and it was radically convicting of me. Because I'm like, I'm not going to be in the hands and feet of Jesus like you are.
Mm.
I'm not doing that. And she's doing it. She's doing the work without the power of the access of Jesus, right? Like there's a component there that I still grieve, but for her, she found it really ironic to hear somebody who was saying, Jesus is where I get, you know, the fact that Jesus died for me is where I get my value. And this woman was, to her, bragging about Botox. It just put things in right perspective for me.
Yeah.
And I found myself thinking, and it's not about Botox. That's not even the point. Like, that's not, that's not the point. It's not that, it's that we got to be careful that we're not celebrating the wrong things, y'all. We got to be really careful not to be celebrating the wrong things. And the world is getting it wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
It's getting it wrong. So let's think
a lot
of it wrong.
Not just
all of it wrong.
A lot.
A lot of it wrong. So let's be like so careful that we recognize what set us apart, you know? Like, what sets us apart from the world? Not makes us more morally superior than the world, because we're clearly not. Right. But what sets us apart because of the truth that we have within us that's filling us with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? What are we accessing through him that's making the things of this world less attractive to us?
Yeah.
The things of this world less necessary for us to chase and run after and find fulfillment through, because we know that it won't.
Yeah.
And so I just want us to be so careful. To me, how I've navigated it is that I have, for myself, and it's progressive, and some days I get better at it than others, I have thought, what products am I buying that help enhance what I already got?
God obviously appreciates beauty.
Exactly right.
Make things
and
beautiful.
And he's, but also, like, what products are going to heal the inside and amplify the outside? So
I
care a lot more now, and I'm having a few more birthdays. Okay. So I'm caring more about what I'm putting in my body these days, but for a lot of what I've, I feel motivated to put on the mascara and put a little blush on. It's not as much as for me, it's recognizing, like, if I'm spending a lot of time thinking about me and thinking about how I could look on the outside, like if I'm thinking a lot about this on the outside, I just need to check in with the Lord about it.
Yeah. And like, where does it rank within your priorities? And not so much just like what money you're, although I love all of that. That's so good. Especially we are such an over-consuming society as it is. But also, like, where does it rank within your priorities?
Yeah.
You know, where are you investing so much of your thoughts? Because one thing I will say about this is, you know, people who struggle with body dysmorphia, eating disorders, just general insecurity, there's so much room there for the enemy to play.
Sure.
And because in the religious community, vanity is not a really highly talked about sin.
It's just as bad, but you're right.
It's just not talked about as much. There's not a lot of conviction.
Yeah, totally.
When those priorities get a little wonky.
Yeah.
And it's also not something that I think a lot of people take to God, because they're like, that's just a little vanity here and there.
Right.
And so it gives the enemy a lot of room to play.
That's right.
And I look back at just the sheer mental torture that I had in my life and physical as a result of that, but just the mental gymnastics that were every single day in my head, when what I looked like and what my body looked like were the most important thing.
Yeah.
And it creeps up, and it starts as, I'm just going to get this one little thing. And then before you know it, sometimes you can get lost in the woods.
Totally.
Really, really,
so fast.
Really, really quickly. And yeah, it is hard, because, you know, I share this story and I share all these convictions I have myself. And then I also operate a social media page. And I think all the time, I'm like, oh, like, should I share about that? Is that glorifying God? Like, you know, should I come on camera with makeup all the time? Like, and then it just gets to the point where you're almost so concerned that it's turned into something else. So for me, something I've been really working on, and sometimes I'm failing drastically and sometimes I'm really crushing it, is if I start kind of having conviction about something, I just ask, you know, I say like, Lord, does this glorify you?
It's good.
It's really simple.
Yeah.
It helps me remember to not just connect with him when I need him or when I'm saying a specific prayer, but also just like in my day-to-day actions, because the Lord knows when I'm at the driver's seat, it's a hot mess.
Yeah.
And so like just involving him in little decisions that actually do have a big impact, because what you post on social media influences people. What you say in a conversation, like your friend, influences people. We live in a generation of people influencing people. And so I think it's, as a Christian, it's a deep responsibility that I feel, and I feel like I fail all the time, but I'm constantly trying to be aware of like, okay, what is my influence? And is my influence the presence of Jesus?
Wow.
And sometimes...
Sometimes it is, sometimes it is.
Sometimes not so much.
That's right.
And so it's I feel like too, as an older woman, it's easier to kind of sit with that.
Yeah.
As a younger woman, maybe not so much. I don't know. Like we talked earlier.
The girls a couple of years younger than us, you know, our sisters, our little sisters, man, they're really doing something. They're doing something really powerful. I can't help but just like.
Sometimes I get too confident though.
That's a conviction too.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, sis, okay. Like we, let's calm down
a little
bit.
I see what you mean. I'll say this because I want to be mindful of our time, but I do want to share because it would be deeply vulnerable for me to do that. And I'm feeling like I need to. Okay. So I also dealt with chronic pain. It was a real point of connection for Alicia and I when we first became friends because we were both dealing with very similar things. I did not have implants. The Lord blessed me with other issues, and the Lord gifted me with other issues. That one wasn't one. And I dealt with chronic pain because of COVID, and because of that, I had to explore medications and go down like the pharmaceutical route. I am not against it. I have so many, you know, I'm still on a medication. But one of the medications that I got on to help with this chronic illness was a medication that caused weight gain. And I lived a really, you know, generally healthy lifestyle. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I put on excessive amounts of weight and more weight than I ever have felt comfortable with. And my metabolism has been absolutely dormant. I've not been on it. It's been now 13 months since I've not been on it. And for the last 13 months, I've worked out 5 to 6 days a week. I've eaten healthier than I've ever eaten. I've been more hydrated. I've tried more supplements. I've spent a lot of money out of my own pocket with holistic solutions. And I have found some that have worked for me, which has been really, really great. But the metabolism part has been a struggle. And I was unwilling to feel bloated all the time so that my feet didn't feel like they were on fire. And so I am on my own journey of discovering what accepting my body looks like. And when I say accepting my body, I'm not talking about like bowing down to the lordship of vanity and having like such body security that it's the idol in which I worship.
Yeah.
I'm talking about recognizing that the Lord loves me like this, the same as he did when I had the toned tummy and the arms of Hercules. And he's just, he doesn't see me the way that I see myself, and he wants to break me of any habit that will destroy the body he gave me. Now, my body's going to destroy.
Yeah, Jess.
But it's not going to, on my watch, I'm going to do as much as it concerns me to be at peace with this body and to be at peace with this mind. In the same way that as much as it concerns me, I intend to be at peace with the people around me. And so I've had to learn to accept the vices of food consumption, binge eating, emotional eating, that it doesn't bless the Lord either. And so there's like something about us just saying our bodies are a living, breathing sacrifice to the Lord, holy and pleasing to him. And we are offering the entire thing top to bottom to him. And Dallas Willard in his book, Renovation of the Heart, talks about the actual physical, like, submission and surrendering of our bodies. It's beautiful. And I just want to fully surrender my body to him. And that includes every habit of what I'm consuming, including what comes through my eyes, including what I see in the mirror, including what I put in my mouth, including what I put in my ears, including what I put on my skin. I just want to surrender all of it to the Lord. And then he is going to transform my psyche, my mind, because here's the thing. There's a fundamental philosophy that says you cannot trust anything about yourself. And then there's a whole different philosophy that says when you are in alignment with the Lord, there is wholeness and fullness of joy. And I believe that if you get with the Lord and you let the Holy Spirit do what only he can do, that there will be an alignment, a wholeness of mind, body, spirit, soul, and strength. It all becomes more and more aligned with one another, not disjointed, not guilt ridden, not shame driven. It results in wholeness, but that's not just through a series of actions. It's through a condition of our heart, posturing ourselves before the Lord, getting right with him and letting him transform us in here and then up here. In the heart, and then in the mind, and then through the body, and then in the spirit. And it's beautiful. And guess what? We're playing a long game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever you're at, girl, wherever you're at, we're just playing a long game. Today, maybe all you need to do is just thank God for the abled body that you have.
Yeah.
The frame you got. Maybe that's all we got to do today. You said that about gratitude, you know?
It is. And, you know, I know we want to wrap this up, but I actually think we're, like, we're getting into another layer of this conversation. So if you guys at home don't mind, like, let's let this go a little longer.
Okay.
Okay. So what you were saying, okay, when you are in the depths of it, someone saying, like, oh, just be grateful, just be happy for what you have. Absolutely. But sometimes you're mentally not in a place that that even seems achievable. And so I think, like, body neutrality is very powerful.
Girl.
Body neutrality is literally what kept me in there until... Yeah. And I'm not a person... I think the body love movement is a slippery slope.
Yes.
I think it gives permission to a lot of unhealthy habits.
Yes.
I think what it also does is because it's so self... ensuring.
Yes. Or flattering.
Yes.
Yeah.
That can really quickly turn into vanity...
Yeah.
Just as easy.
Yeah. And self-worship.
Amen. Yes. And, you know, like, there is, like, a discussion about, like, you know, we have talked about this before, about, like, taking a fundamentalistic view that, you know, you can't trust your body. And we could do a whole episode on that. But this might not be the popular thing to say, but I'm going to say it from my own experience, is that there are times for myself when what I thought and how my body was, I actually could not trust. Right. And what was so unfortunate is that I did not have the Lord in those moments. Mm. And the Lord cares so deeply about any of your suffering.
Right.
Even if your suffering is self-inflicted,
that's it.
Or it seems like it's not of huge value in mm-hmm. comparison mm-hmm. to all the things that you have to be grateful for.
Right.
And so when you are dealing with something like how you view yourself, mm-hmm. your body, mm-hmm. just you, I think it's just, it's a slippery slope. Yeah. And I will say this is having experience dealing with that without the Lord and then with the Lord.
Right.
Sometimes the best option is to remain neutral and take it to him and allow him to take you to the next step.
That's right.
But it is hard because it's one of those things. It's kind of like you said, someone asked me the other day, they're like, well, how did you get over your eating disorder? And I was like, I don't even know how to wrap that up in a,
right.
Like
I can't oversimplify that for you.
If someone asked you like, mm-hmm. okay, Jess, like yeah. how are you currently like in your day to day?
Yeah.
How are you working with how you're feeling like about your body and everything? Body.
I am focusing on what is in my control to do. So, you know, like leadership talk, you know, there's a book about the discipline, the four disciplines of execution. And it talks about like lead measures and lag measures. Like you have a goal. You actually want to focus on like the steps that you are capable of taking to reach the goal, the outcome. For me, I have thought, you know, there are a few really fundamental things that are just like known in the health world that produce a healthy body. And I'm thinking about life longevity for my kids. And mm-hmm. so my perspective is radically different now, where I'm happily married to a man who loves my body. That is a gift. I recognize that not, and he's like a really good human. And he loves me very much, and we have deep respect for one another, and we've got a really good thing going. And so I am fortunate enough that a man isn't complicating that, or not having a man isn't that complicated.
Do you think we complicate that?
100%. I mean, there are lots of motivations on why it's complicated.
Yeah.
But I would say,
like, I think we care way more than they care.
Oh, well, but some yeah. some women don't get that.
Yeah.
Luxury. Yeah. Of course we care more than, mm-hmm. but there are women out there, and I mm-hmm. don't want to discount them, whose husbands are very visually stimulated. And there's a pretty specific expectation on women, on certain wives or partners that are supposed to, and you know, if you don't tell me, if you're an actual friend of mine and you come to me and you tell me something about how your husband perceives you and what you should be looking like, don't even try, because I'm going to bury a man in my backyard.
Hit the road, Jack.
You better believe I would really struggle. And I have had to pull away from friends whose spouses
yeah.
were not treating my friend the way that I want them to.
Yeah.
And okay. So that's like a deep dive. We could go way far down into that. However, right now I'm thinking about carrying grandchildren on my back. That is a goal. Mm. That's an actual goal that I have. I want to be able to hike up mountains. My husband and I really love hiking. If I can hike up a mountain with a baby on my back, and it's a baby that my baby made. Mm. That's living.
That's really sweet.
I know, I'm a doll. Okay, so, but this is how I've perceived it. If that is the end goal, if the goal is to be able to hike up a back, and my kids don't have to have babies, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I want to be healthy enough to be what my kids need when they're grown-ups. I don't want for them to have to take care of me sooner than they really need to. And I have that example in my in-laws. My mother-in-law was literally climbing the ropes course today. Okay, so she was like harnessed up with a helmet. I took a picture and I was like, 67 awesome. Looks good on you.
She's awesome.
Girl.
She's
okay, awesome. But what I'm saying with this particular perspective is I want to be healthy and capable and strong while my kids are grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. with that perspective in mind, today I'm going to do what I can today. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be mindful of my lymphatic drainage because she told me to be. And then I'm going to hydrate because she told me to be. And then I'm going to I'm going to take care of my skin, and not just because I want to maintain, I want to look young for a long time or look younger for a long time. I don't want half of it to be cut off by a dermatologist. Yeah. And so I just like, there are certain choices that I'm making today. I've made a lot of bad choices back that way. I can't control that. Mm. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like Rafiki hitting Simba on the head. Like, it's in the past. I've got to face forward, and I've got to recognize these are the variables that are in my control. What I consume physically, even, you know, visually, like what I listen to, if anything that could keep my brain healthy, that's another thing. We don't see it, so we forget about it, but our brain is such a critical muscle, and there are so many studies that come out that says things like Alzheimer's and dementia, there are ways to prolong it, to delay it, to reduce it, mm-hmm. to mitigate it. And we have to be more mindful of what we're putting between our ears, what we're choosing to fix our attention on. And when we are thinking the right things, it ends up benefiting what we put in our mouths. Because I'm not turning to the Reese's every time I'm irritated like I once did.
Well,
you know?
Well, yeah. And the creator created us in his image to create. And so when we are not creating and we are consuming, we are depressed. We are insecure.
Right.
We are unsatisfied.
Right.
Like we were made to not overconsume.
That's right.
On any level.
Level.
On any level.
And so I have just really thought, okay, I look in the mirror, I look honestly in the mirror, and there are days where I'm disappointed in the results because I want them to come faster than my body is capable of producing. And then I walk away and I thank God that I made three little humans that were cut out of me, mm-hmm. that are absolute chaos, energy, and mayhem. But they are going to be little world changers. And my body freaking made them.
Yeah.
That is rad. And that's okay. And when my husband looks at my body, specifically the areas that I dislike the most, he's like, girl, my DNA was in there. Was up in there. And I do not mind it one bit.
Yes,
and that's really sweet. But that's not the point. I didn't need him to do that. Because I can still, even if something, heaven forbid, something happens to my hobby and I no longer have his validation, which he gives me plenty of, if I don't have that, I still have the God of the universe, mm-hmm. that put everything into motion, and he looks at this body and says, it is good.
Amen.
I just go ahead. I'm just going to hang my hat right there on that.
Go ahead, girl. I'm done. I got nothing to say.
That was it. Would you like to pray? Would you like me to pray?
I'll pray.
Okay.
I'll pray. Hold on. I got to get some water real quick.
Yeah. Hydrate. You got to keep that hydration, girl.
No one knows this, but before we film, I make Jess get on a shake plate.
I bought one. Now I do it at home. I don't have to wait to go to Alicia's house.
The biohacking that happens at my house. But it's really fun. And maybe we should do an episode about that one day. We'll just do a whole biohacking health episode.
Oh yeah. And we'll do it from your sauna. Let's do that. Wouldn't that be so hilarious?
With clothes on.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I didn't even think about it.
Our ratings just went up.
Like people are just like, ooh, boys are wonders. No, just kidding. No, but for real, I would say like with Alicia being so, you say that you're like, almost fully granola or something. Like
I'm scrunchy.
You're scrunchy.
Scrunchy.
Yeah. I would say, some of these hacks have been really revolutionary to me, mm-hmm. and they've allowed for me to do things like a podcast after a really long day's worth of work.
That makes me happy, friend.
Yeah. I mean, like we're filming in the evening and I was on a ropes course today. So I mean, like it's a miracle that I'm sitting here, and some of it has to do with the fact that I have seized opportunities to get what's happening inside healthier so that I can do this.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
We could do that. We could do another episode like that.
Let's do it. Okay. I'm going to pray us out.
Okay.
Adonai Elroy, we just come to you today, Lord, and we thank you so much for just the ability to not just share our testimonies and our experiences, but to share exactly how you have healed us, Lord. And you've healed us when we thought we were beyond repair. And honestly, Jesus, we thank you for caring about all of the small things and the big things. Thank you for having your hand on our lives in every single season that we walk in. I pray, Lord, over every single person listening to this podcast, I pray that whatever words were yours that they needed to hear, Lord, that they can take them and fully understand them and be able to connect with you in a deeper way. I also pray, Lord, that if there's anyone listening who is suffering with their health, Lord, I pray for healing for them. I pray for answers. Mm-hmm. I also just pray for you to wrap them up in love in this season. And maybe it's a season where they don't feel exactly close to you. Yeah. I pray for them to have just closeness with you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being such a good God. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What does Adonai Elroy mean? That's what you called him.
The God who sees
me. The God who sees
you. I just spent an hour and a half talking about validation. You know I'm going to call my Jesus Adonai Elroy.
That's right. I mean, we don't want to skip over like those things for our, for our new Jesus friends.
Yeah. It's new to Jesus it's my, friends. It's my favorite name for him. And when I first opened Genesis, I was like, I don't know. And then I saw Adonai Elroy and I was like, he sees me. Still tried to make it about me.
Yes. So this book is about me.
He literally sees me. He's probably just like, oh, this child.
Oh,
this
man. Child. I'm going to have to spend a little bit more time on her.
Yep.
Okay, girls, guys, whoever's listening, friends, Black Sheep, we're so glad that you joined us today. Obviously, we would love to know how this ministers to you. If you've got any questions, if you enjoyed this, if you hated it, we'll first pray about whether or not you tell us about it.
Yeah.
But then tell us. And then, we would just love to hear from you. So you can follow us anywhere, at Black Sheep Believers Podcast, or you can email us at contact@blacksheepbelievers.com. And, we are so thankful that we get to capture our conversations and that, we've heard from some of you and it's been a blessing to you. So
I love it.
We are excited to see you and to discuss more on next week's episode of the Black Sheep Believers Podcast. Have a great rest of your day, guys.
Bye, guys. Love you, really.